Kurt and Kate Mornings, not just on the radio.
It's a podcast, too.
Do you think it's possible for women to be strong Christians and confident leaders as well?
Absolutely.
The two are not mutually exclusive, are they?
No.
We learned a lot when longtime corporate leader Peggy Boddy dropped by the show. She views work as, well, we're on the same page. She views work as sacred. And so do we here as well. You don't want to draw too many lines between the sacred and the secular world, because if you're a believer, like we're talking about, then everything is sacred to you. But, and she got really specific about some of the challenges facing Christian women in the workplace.
Yeah. But you know what I found, too? The work, the book, which is Sacred Work, is not just for women. Of course, all of us need to be reading this, but also for your sons and grandsons who are going to be working more with women in the future.
Exactly. So that's the benefit there. But the principles themselves are timeless.
Yes.
I think you'll agree if you spend a little bit of time listening to what Peggy was sharing with us. Yay, the name of your new book is Sacred Work, A Christian Woman's Guide to Leadership in the Marketplace. Little background and a little bit of backstory on this. You're an entrepreneur, and you're the founder of Sacred Work, but you have been involved in the workaday world for a long, long time, haven't you?
Yes, longer than I'd probably like to admit at this stage.
That's okay. We're not going to ask for dates. We're not going to do that. So let's talk about women and in leadership in the corporate world. How have things changed in the past? Oh, I don't know. Maybe let's use a benchmark. Maybe the past 20 years.
I would say one of the most positive changes, let's start with that. One of the most positive changes that's happened is that the faith and work movement for women is really coming into position. And this is something super exciting for me because that didn't used to exist. And now women have a place in leadership, but they also are gathering in communities and organizations as Christians and empowering each other and coming together so that they can be the best leaders that God intended them to be. So that's a super positive change that I've seen over the last couple of decades. Another big change is that more women are entering leadership positions. You know, that used to be, and I kind of watch all the stats on that, and that number has been climbing. It kind of took a hit during COVID, but I see that as a really positive change too. More women in leadership positions.
Yeah. So when we take a look at work as followers of Jesus, and this is kind of foundational as well. You know, we tend to think of it as, okay, well, that's my job. But then there's the church stuff, and there's my relationship with Jesus. There's my pursuit of Him, my faith, and my job. They don't really go together. And you are, as you just mentioned there, you want to shout it from the rooftops that, hey, you know what? You can't really draw those lines, because when you are a follower of Jesus, everything you do in your life, every area of your life is sacred, isn't it?
That is so true. And that message is at the heart of my foundation, and it's at the heart of the book. And I tell women, you know, God does not live inside a compartment labeled sacred. He lives in us, and we carry the sacredness that comes from Him everywhere we go, including the workplace. And I think it's important to embrace that truth, because it helps us also embrace the truth that our work matters to God.
It really does. And let's face it, I mean, it's obvious how much time we spend on the job. This is, hello, guys, this is a huge portion of our life. So we need to get this right. Right, Peggy?
Yes. I think the last study that I looked at said that on an average, working people spend about 2/3 of their lives at work. So, of course, God wants us to use that space for Him and for His glory.
Recognizing and overcoming imposter syndrome. Let's talk about that. What is the imposter syndrome anyway?
So imposter syndrome has been around for a long time, even before we were able to name it. So what happens when women have imposter syndrome is they have these repeated feelings and thoughts that they're not good enough, that they're incompetent. So even though they are experienced, educated, and top performers, they doubt their abilities and they're afraid people are going to find out that they're a fraud. So that's what imposter syndrome looks like. That's how it presents itself.
You have a number of different things here that you talk about in your book: making difficult decisions, managing workplace conflict. Obviously, it's not just women leaders. This is for guys as well in the workplace. Leading remotely. Okay, after the pandemic and remote work and all of that, how has that changed? How do you manage a department, or how do you lead some people when they're all over the place?
That's a great question. And I think the Bible gives us a lot of awesome guidance on that. You know, it makes me think about when Jesus said what would happen in Acts 1:8 started to happen, where everyone who was together praying and working all of a sudden became scattered. I think we see some practical lessons there. And then the number one is to prioritize communication. You know, the early church didn't have technology, but they wrote letters, lots of letters. And I tell leaders that, you know, consistency and clarity are key, and encouragement is powerful. And that's something that we saw Paul do when he wrote letters to churches and individuals. And that's something that we can do. But the second thing is to still work on building relationships. You know, the workplace looks different, but people still crave genuine relationships. So I tell leaders one way to build that is to share the mission. Make sure the mission is clear for your team. Make sure the priorities are clear and that everybody's connected to both. So personalize those connections and get to know your team, give them space and time to get to know each other. So I would say communication and build relationships. And I think the Bible is a powerful example of both of those things.
You know, and you were talking about imposter syndrome and not feeling out of place. Some of it is just history tells us men do this, women do that. But in fact, people are coming to realize that women do some things better. I mean, most of us always knew that. But I remember hearing some actresses talk about being producers now. And they say, you know, women are such better producers just because of how we are built. So there are different things.
Are you talking about multitasking, maybe?
Well, and also taking into account when a woman looks at a situation, we do look at it differently than a man does. When we walk out the door, we look at life differently. We look around to see if someone's hiding in the bush, you know, but we also look around to see how everyone's feeling. And eventually, the feelings that are out there could complicate any decisions we make or choices we make in the future. You know, if people are very unhappy, I think the women would know and understand why sooner, before the catastrophe happened.
Well, you know what, Peggy, before you respond to that, full transparency is in order here. When I walk out the door, I always look to see if there's somebody in the bushes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
Just so you know.
It's caught on.
Just so you know. All right, Peggy, some thoughts.
Well, one area, I love what you said, Kate, and one area that I think women bring something really special to the table in is the area of decision making. And I like to talk about this because I think there's some perceptions about women and their ability to make good decisions in the workplace that aren't supported by science. So neuroscientists have really looked at this closely, and in normal day-to-day situations, men and women process decision making in really similar ways. But under a lot of stress, men and women make decisions in a different way because, as Kate mentioned, their brains operate differently. So even though there's a perception that women's feelings may interfere with logic and decision making, they actually operate really well under pressure. So what they do is they make less risky decisions, and they also collaborate. They're more likely to include and consider other people's input, and they want to balance conflicting interests because they are assessing other people's feelings and other people's feedback. So I love that because I think it's empowering to know that science supports women as effective decision makers. And I also tell women, you know, God created us men and women as equal, but we're unique. And when both genders bring their strengths to the table, that's when the best decisions are made.
Thank you for taking some time to listen to this episode of the Kurt and Kate Mornings podcast. We always welcome a review with your thoughts and comments, and please feel free to subscribe and follow us as well.
Peggy is an entrepreneur, and the founder of Sacred Work. That's an organization that provides free career and leadership support for Christian women in the workplace. And Peggy spent about 25 years as a corporate executive and then pivoted to start a freelance writing business. So that's very interesting. By the way, Peggy, I want to ask you about that because I'm always fascinated how God leads other people into transitions in their lives, whatever that may be, but vocationally is very interesting. How did you know that it was time to leave the corporate world and do something like this?
You know, I'm embarrassed to say that God had been prompting me to leave the corporate world for a couple years, and the Holy Spirit had been nudging me to start the writing business and start writing for His kingdom. And He knows that I need a lot of affirmation. So He sent people into my life who spoke that same push to me. You know, your degree's in English, you can totally do this. You can apply your business skills to entrepreneurship. And I just kept resisting. And when I look back at my journal, I can see this pattern where through sermons, through songs, through other people, God just kept nudging me and nudging me. And finally, He gave me a push when I got passed over for the pinnacle promotion, kind of the C-suite promotion. And I realized that I had been so stubborn and prideful and had put the job on the throne. But that's what it took. It was humiliating. It was hard, but it's what I needed. And so that's when I said, okay, God, I'm surrendering all. And I made a transition plan, turned in my resignation, and never looked back.
Wow. What happened when you turned in your resignation? Was everybody very surprised about it?
Yes, I think everyone was very surprised, especially, you know, people automatically go to, okay, you're going from an executive position to running a freelance writing business. You know, there's a severe pay cut there. So,
yep.
You know, and for me, it's like, well, God wants me to do this and He's made it really clear. So this is what I'm doing. So I think a lot of people thought I was nuts for doing it.
Yes,
but
yes, we have been there. I've been there in particular. I used to be in TV news. And when God led me into Christian radio, I remember, Peggy, the same exact thing. You know, He'd been working on my heart for quite some time, et cetera, et cetera. But as I'm packing up my stuff to leave, all of my colleagues, not all, but most of them, they came up to me. They were very nice, but they're like, so what are you doing again? And I said, well, I'm going to be working in Christian radio. When you're in television, everybody back then who was in radio aspired to be on TV. It wasn't, you know, it was like, okay, you're slumming. You're going to go backwards in your career. You're actually going down the ladder to radio, which is less than TV. And then Christian radio, which is a niche within a niche within a niche. One person even said, you have just committed career suicide.
Right.
And what I thought about at that moment, a couple of things. Number one, those who don't know Jesus, they don't get it. And you can't blame them because they're blinded, right? They're not spiritually discerned, as the Bible says. So that's number one. But then number two, I told them this, and I believe it to this day. I have given up nothing, and I have gained nothing. everything that is meaningful and satisfying in my life. Would you agree?
I agree 100%. And I love how God balances that feedback. And you probably experienced this too, but people that don't know Jesus definitely thought I was nuts. But then there were also my Christian friends who were saying, "What took you so long? God is going to make a way, and yes, you've got this."
Yeah. See, that's great. And the pay cut thing scared us. My wife just had returned home to be a stay-at-home mom for a season. Right. And so, we took a huge pay cut. And on paper, guys, this should not have worked. But I'm here to tell you that God got us through and blessed us, and we had everything we needed just when we needed it. And that was such a wonderful season of life. So, Peggy and myself, maybe you're speaking into your life today that if you're afraid, you know, of making that, God's made it clear, but you're afraid, how am I going to pay the bills? It's not like you're presuming upon God because you've done your due diligence, you're leaning into Him, you're waiting for confirmation. All of that is necessary, but there comes a point where there has to be an element of faith, and maybe it is the money thing. If God is calling you, He's going to provide for you. Peggy agrees. I agree. Kate, you agree. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Absolutely.
Maybe you just tuned in just for that little nugget there, bit of encouragement. I wanted to ask you something else, Peggy, about being on the job as a woman in the workplace and a leader. How do you lead in a male-dominated industry?
You asked me earlier, Kurt, what has changed over the last couple of decades, and that's something that has definitely changed because more and more women are working in spaces where in the past they were majority men. So I think the first thing that's really important to do is you're not making any judgments, but you have to recognize that this is a different work environment. So there may be biases, there may be struggles, there may be situations that you wouldn't face in an environment that isn't male dominated. So you have to recognize that it's a different environment. And then the second thing I would say is to really pay attention to focusing on relationships. So I worked in a male dominated environment almost my entire career. And one of the things that I think I would do differently is I really focused on establishing a good, solid relationship with my team. And I think that it's also important to establish relationships with your peers. So you really have to focus on that and be intentional about it, because we can't create change in the workplace if the only ones advocating for it are the ones impacted by it. So we need those male advocates, mentors, sponsors. We have to partner with them, and that has to be intentional. So I would say that those two would be the priorities. Be aware that the environment is different, and then prioritize relationships, you know, with peers more so even than you would in an environment that wasn't male dominated.
The landscape for work has changed so much, especially since the pandemic. We referred to working remotely and all of this, and then everybody's called back to the office and people are freaked out about that. And then you have all of these layoffs that are happening here in, right now we're in a season of layoffs this year. And then we talk about the gig economy, and then we talk about salaries not rising to match inflation. There's a lot of stuff going on when it comes to on-the-job topics. It's almost overwhelming, isn't it?
It is. And there are so many changes that I think it's really hard for leaders right now to keep up with. I mean, there's so many unpredictable things happening in the market and with the labor force, you know, different generations of employees that are now working together in different work environments, whether it's hybrid, remote, or back in the office. So I think there's a lot to navigate.
No doubt about it. But these principles in your book are so helpful. And might I just say, it says A Christian Woman's Guide to Leadership in the Marketplace. But guys, if you can tell, a lot of these, all of these almost, for the most part, are applicable to us. Even better understanding our women co-workers in the workplace. This book is valuable. It's good stuff. Peggy, thanks for being with us. Blessings to you and your family today.
Thank you, Kurt and Kate.
Thanks for listening to Kurt and Kate Mornings Podcast. Please take a minute to follow, subscribe, and review us. And no matter where in the world you are, you can listen to us live from 6 to 9 a.m. weekdays on the Moody Radio app.